Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here with Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. with Celeste Hackett. Well, we're excited here, bringing you fun, interesting, and news about the hypnosis profession. Thank you again for your feedback. It's so helpful to have you guys when you call in, write in, and all that kind of stuff. It lets us know what you like best. And so for sure, we're going to keep the dumb hypnotist tricks, and we've got some new series of stuff to do with you today also. Celeste, what you doing?
Well, I'm just sitting over here in Texas, having myself a cup of coffee, just listening to you talk. And of course, I'm getting ready for this upcoming thing we're doing today. It's the beginning of a whole series of 10 keys this and 10 keys that. And we're starting off with 10 keys of client preparation and successful sessions today. This is going to be interesting. Don't go away.
Good. Hey, I'm wondering if any of my predictions from last week have come true yet.
Not yet. It's a little bit too early. Come on.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. I'm running through my paperwork here, getting ready to move on. Oh, by the way, if you're watching this anywhere except www.calbanyan.com, go there and check out all the cool stuff we have down below this video. That's where the links and some additional information is for you from the program. All right, let's see. What's on my list? Once in a while you see me looking down. Celeste, you got to see my office. I've got two monitors now. I got one over here, one over here. They're huge, like 22-inch monitors. It's like I can have like all these things going at once. So, you know, if I look down once in a while, that's because I've got all this stuff out here. You should see. It's like an internet cockpit.
Is that where you can take something from one screen and scroll it over to the other screen? Are you doing that?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, I can just you'd slide around stuff on one screen. Well, I can just, you know, it just becomes one huge, I mean, realistically, it goes, you can't even see. It's off the screen. I have stuff out to here, literally, about almost 5 feet's worth of screen here. I love it.
Like wrap around computers. It's like you're just engulfed in computer land.
I'm swimming in computer monitor here. It's great. All right, let's see. What else are we going to talk about? Where do you want to start off with? You want to start off with an Ask Cal question, or you want to do dumb hypnotist trick, or you want to start off with the new stuff?
I think we should do dumb hypnotist trick because we never start out with that. Let's set the tone right now.
All right, it's an exciting new frontier out there. Go ahead.
All right, this is where Cal goes out on a limb. Get ready. Dumb hypnotist trick time. And here's the dumb hypnotist trick. Letting clients fall asleep and calling that hypnosis.
Oh, that would be a dumb hypnotist. Let me tell you, folks. In the olden days, back when I was just a youngster and I was walking through 3 feet of snow to get to my hypnosis office, that people thought hypnosis and sleep were the same thing, and they're not. And this is why. Hypnosis could be defined as a heightened state of suggestibility. That means that you're more suggestible than usual. And there is no evidence that I know of anywhere, and I've been asked this question for a long time, that hypnosis, that sleep causes you to be more suggestible than any other time. Actually, sleep is a state of relative unconsciousness, where hypnosis is a state of focused or hyperconsciousness. And yeah, there's some evidence out there that you could maybe learn stuff or pick up stuff while you're asleep, but no evidence that says that you are more suggestible than when you're normal waking consciousness. So letting someone fall asleep in your hypnosis session would be dumb. It either your training is lacking or you're lazy. You see, if you know that your client is asleep and you charge them for a hypnosis, as far as I'm concerned, that's not only a dumb hypnotist trick, it's a hypno-felony. How do you feel about that, Celeste?
You criminals out there doing that, you better stop. We're going to report you.
That's right. The hypno police, right?
That's right. We're the hypno police, and we're always watching.
Hey, you know, so what would you do, Celeste, if you thought your client was asleep?
Oh, my gosh. There wouldn't be no time at all, and I'd be waking them up. This, and I would then have to explain. Because they don't know. They might think that they're supposed to go to sleep or black out or pass out. Their friend might have went to a hypnotist that did that once.
What would make you think that they were asleep?
What would I do if they were asleep?
Yeah. I mean, they're laying there with their eyes closed. They're not moving. You're doing a direct suggestion phase of the work, like in Five Path, the first session. A lot of times after you do the preparation, convincing, and testing, people just do direct suggestion. So there they are with their eyes closed. How would you know if they were asleep or not?
Well, if they're snoring, you know, that does not necessarily indicate sleep, but it would probably catch my ear. Or, you know, if I got the idea or if I intuited that I thought they might have drifted into sleep, then what I would do is I would just...
Wait a minute. You told me last time that you're not psychic.
Cal, I lied.
And now you're going to intuit that there is... I got you out on a limb, don't I?
Well, I do feel a little bit like Shirley MacLaine right now. Go on.
Yeah. So, yeah, you started to say because they were snoring, but then you know from class that snoring is not caused by sleep. It's snoring is caused by the relaxation that we experience when we're asleep, right?
That's correct.
So, but one cue could be that they're snoring, right? And so what you would do is you would just... You want to let them know that they're snoring, and so using the same tone of voice you've been using so as to not wake them up if they are asleep, because we want to find out if they are asleep. If for one reason or another you think they might be asleep, they're snoring or they're breathing very, you know, heavily, or for whatever reason, what you want to do, if they're snoring, just using the same tone of voice, I would say something like this. I'd say, I've noticed that you're snoring. I don't know if you're aware of it. If you're not aware of it, then you are asleep. And so it is important that you respond to me to let me know that you're not asleep by raising your right index finger. Or I might ask them to nod their head or whatever, because if they're asleep, they won't respond. So I would just ask for a response using the same tone of voice. Then if they respond using that same tone of voice I've been using, then I know they're not responding because I just woke them up, but that they have been in hypnosis all the time and haven't fallen asleep. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. As a matter of fact, built into the inductions that I do, there's all sorts of responses that the client is supposed to give, especially in the first one. And so if they're not responding, and they, you know, to me they appear to be asleep or they're snoring, even though that's not an indication of sleep, I might say, nod your head if you're with me in a tone of voice that I was already using, or nod your head if you can hear me. And if not, I might touch them on the hand, nod your head if you can hear me. Sometimes they're not asleep, but they're almost there. And if you say that a couple times, they'll nod their head.
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly right. And then if they are asleep, then you could do this technique you're using, like touch them on the hand lightly and then see if they'll become responsive. But if you have to wake them up, if they've gone asleep, they're no longer in hypnosis. They've emerged from hypnosis and gone into natural sleep. And so you will want to do some kind of re-induction. If they fall asleep again, what you'll want to do is reschedule the appointment for a time when they're not going to be so sleepy. I know you take a guy like me in the afternoon, like maybe someone has an appointment in the afternoon or evening with you. Take me, put me in your recliner and start saying, relax, relax, relax. And guess what? I'm going to fall asleep. And really, this is where if I was to do that kind of session with someone, a follow-up session where they'd fall asleep, I would probably use an instant induction and get right into the work. I never have people fall asleep on me when I'm doing age regression and, you know, this other kinds of forgiveness work and parts work and stuff like that, because it's so interactive. Anything else you'd like to add to that?
Sometimes having them sit up will keep them from falling asleep, and then making sure you tell them, do not go to sleep. And during the session, you know, please don't go to sleep. Stay with me. Otherwise, you're going to end up every other sentence asking them if they're with you or if they can hear you. And I've done sessions like that before. Believe me, it's no fun.
Yeah, sometimes just telling them, you know, hypnosis is not sleep. If you fall asleep, you will have a very expensive nap. And that often gets them more stimulated enough to stay awake.
That's really good. I'll have to try that.
Okay, good. All right, what's next?
Well, I think we should move into the 10 keys of client preparation for successful sessions. Are you ready for that?
Okay. Now, I want to tell everybody that this is a lot of stuff. And I mean, you're not going to find any place on the internet that gives you this depth of training for free. In fact, I've even gotten hate mail from other trainers saying, Cal, you're giving away too much for free. And I just don't believe that. I've built my entire practice on giving away stuff. And I think that just getting this kind of good basic information out there builds the profession. And then when people want to do training or advanced training, then they select me because they know what kind of quality information, you know, we can dish out in a class. What do you think about that, Celeste?
Yeah, I love that you give out free stuff, and I'm glad to be a part of that. So often, people aren't willing to give away any information or any help even.
Right. You know, some people, it's like you take their course, and then they say, but you got to take my next course before you get this information. And when you take that course, they go, yeah, but I'm going to give you the really good stuff in the next course. That's so shaky, don't you think?
Yeah, and you know, I venture to say that if you really went through everything that you offered that was free, it's almost an education in advanced hypnosis technique all in its own right.
All right. Good. I'm going to read off some stuff that we're going to cover in the future in this series. We're going to start off with this one, which is the 10 keys of client preparation for successful hypnosis sessions. And then we're also going to be doing 10 keys to forgiveness, 10 keys to doing successful age regression, 10 keys to doing forgiveness work, 10 keys to, that's kind of a repetition there, 10 keys to doing parts mediation work, and 10 keys to doing successful marketing for your practice. And each one of these, what we're going to do is we're going to go over some of the most important things that you need to know. All right. And Celeste, I think I fired off a copy of my outline to you, so feel free to, you know, this is silly, I'm telling her, feel free to interrupt at any time. And of course, from previous episodes, we know you do feel free to interrupt at any time. Isn't that right?
I'm not exactly shy, okay?
Well, that's why I like having you here. All right, 10 keys of client preparation for successful sessions. Now, in 5PATH, for example, we have phase one. Phase one has to do with preparation, testing, and convincing. And, you know, back when I was first learning this stuff on a professional level, I got the message from trainers and books that I was reading that if I didn't get someone into somnambulism and have a successful induction after, you know, 1 minute with the client, then there was something wrong with me. And then you hear me say one of the Banyanisms, which is, you know, hypnosis is a dance. It takes two people. And what we want to do is recognize that the hypnotist is the professional. The person coming in is the neophyte or novice. They don't know anything. They bring a lot of misconceptions and stuff like that in. And it's worth spending the first session, or at least the first part of the first session, preparing that client for success. I mean, my training is in hypnosis and talk therapy, and we were trained to spend the first 3 to 6 sessions with a client doing the laying the groundwork and, you know, setting up goals and things like that. So don't feel bad, professional hypnotists out there, if you spend 1 session or half a session laying down the groundwork, and that's really what this is going to be about. All right. Now, I anticipate that we're not going to get through all of these in one episode. So we're going to see how many we can get through. It's more important that we give you quality content than just getting through a bunch of numbers. And also, I'm going to be publishing some of this stuff in the National Guild of Hypnotists Journal of Hypnotism. So another perk, I'll be going into a little bit more detail in the article that I'll be doing there. And that's going to be at least a 2-part article also. All right, number one, first contact through advertising. When you advertise, you've got to remember that that's really part of the hypnosis process. And we've talked about this in previous episodes to some degree, that consistency of presentation is so important. That what you need to do is create a mental expectation of what clients will see when they get to your office. You don't want to call your office the State Institute for hypnosis research and mind expansion or something like that when you have a very successful one-room office, either in an office building or in your home. Because what's going to happen is when the people come to your office, they're going to feel like you've done a little bait and switch kind of thing and you haven't been completely truthful with them. And so it's really important that you begin to prepare the client for success by creating a certain theme of presentation. For example, the theme could be professional, it could be casual, it could be very, very big as far as like having an institute, or it could be smaller such as the home office. Let people know what you are offering. Then when they get there, they're prepared to enter your office with a positive mindset. Anything you can add to that, Celeste?
Well, just that if you're not consistent in your presentation, people aren't going to feel safe with you. And the biggest thing that keeps someone out of hypnosis is fear. And so if you do present yourself one way on the phone and another way in person, or one way on your website and another way in person, they're going to feel like you haven't been maybe truthful. And that means that you're not safe if you haven't been truthful, or maybe that you've in some way been a little bit unfair, by being not so truthful. So you definitely want to have that consistency. And it starts with the very, very first contact. If they see you on a website, or they get a name from a person who has seen you, there's got to be a good feeling. One of the things that I have been told by the clients that call me is that first, when they saw the name of my business, it immediately made them feel safe. And it's because I marry that word family with hypnosis. And so these little things that you can do to make people feel safe, that will so add to ease in the first session, getting someone into hypnosis, building the rapport.
And you're so right, because we want to start thinking about hypnosis and what we do as a process, and that you don't just run into someone and then hypnotize them and do the work. It's a preparation, and if anyone wants to see Celeste's wonderful website, they can go to its www.familyfirsthypnosis.com. Is that right, Celeste?
Yes, but we decided we weren't doing those W's anymore.
I know, but I've been doing it. I've been on the internet since before there was an internet, so it's kind of hard for me, old dog, new tricks, that kind of thing.
Familyfirsthypnosis.com. Visit me.
Okay, good. All right. Now, I want to ask you, Celeste. So there's the professional theme, and then this is the casual theme, and we want to present kind of, it has to do with branding kind of, if you start getting into the nitty gritty of marketing and stuff. How do you, you've got a very nice website, and then you've got a very nice office in the home. How do you transition them from your nice website into, happily arriving at your office at your home?
Well, Cal, I was really worried about this when I was in my apartment, because I knew my website looked like I had this big business, and I was kind of concerned about that. And I didn't really think that it was really going to transition that well. But I think the big way that I got my clients to take the chance to come and knock on the door when they realized I was in an apartment complex starting out was after talking to me on the phone. That was the way I transitioned them. They saw the website, that looked good. They talked to me on the phone, and I slip in, I have a home office, and I don't say anything more about it, but then, somehow they're holding on to that a little bit more. And then when they arrived at the apartment door, they went, okay, home office, I've come this far, the website looked good, she sounded nice on the phone, what the heck? And now that I'm in a home, I'm in a fairly nice neighborhood, so I don't, it's probably better than the apartment was. If you do everything else right, but maybe one little thing isn't exactly as you would like it to be, you probably still will get clients, because people who are hurting are looking for somebody like you.
Exactly. And so if What you can do is you've got this beautiful website, and so that gets the phone to ring. That's the main job of a website, is get the phone to ring. Then you can talk to them, you build the rapport, and then when they you create that mental expectation on the phone, right?
That's right, and I'm creating the mental expectation that I can help them with their problem. I'm not, you know, saying that, you know, this is going to cost $1 million and I can help them go buy a car and a house and new clothes. I mean, I'm saying, hey, I care about you, I can help you with my problem, and I have an office in my home. So it was isn't that big of a transition once they talk to me. It's, you know what I'm saying? I'm not selling a high dollar item here, really. I'm not selling Mercedes or something that they would think that I couldn't possibly be selling out of my home.
Beautiful. Hey, so you got my outline in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Good. Why don't you do number two, and this is going to slide right into number three. So go ahead and do number two.
First impression of your location, and we talked just a little bit about that. I can tell you that being in a home, you know, I got to go outside and make sure my lawn is cut and the front door looks good. And, you know, people who have, we live sort of on a busy street, kids go by, they throw stuff out of the car, we got to pick up the lawn. I at least need to every day take a look out there. And then so when they drive up, it at least looks clean and nice. So presentation of your facility, wherever you are, is important, especially is it safe? And Cal, take it away from there. What did you have in mind when you wrote this as one of the keys?
Well, you know, if you've done a really good job on the phone and you've done a really good job in your advertising to prepare the client, and then they come up and the place doesn't look safe, it's not well lit at night, or it's not clean, And if I've got any male hypnotists watching this, and I know I do, I want to tell you something. Women have a lower threshold of tolerance for dirt than men do, on average, okay? And so you really need to make sure if you have a restroom facility that they use or their office and your person needs to be very clean. You know, hygiene is the number one important thing. With that, because in our practice, we find that 75%, but maybe even 80% of our clients are women. And boy, they won't tell you, I'm not coming back because you have a dirty bathroom. They just will find some other excuse not to come back. And so you just got to have that cleanliness, safety, you know, the impression of your office. And it needs to be in line with whatever your theme is. Anything to add to that, Celeste?
Just that I think we're out of time. I think that we're going to have to move this episode, or this thing that we're doing with the 10 keys here, into the next episode, because we are a little short on time here. Do you want to say anything else before we wrap up, or do you want to keep going?
Well, you know what, Celeste? I think you're right. Thanks for watching the time. And that's the first two. Hopefully next time we'll get in at least three and then three after that and get through these. And that'll give everyone time each week to check on the 10 keys and start implementing their practice if they haven't done so already. All right, wrap it up, Celeste.
All right, I'm Celeste Hackett, coming to you from Dallas, Texas, and my business is FamilyFirstHypnosis.com. Please check it out on the World Wide Web.
Hey, and this is Cal Banyan from CalBanyan.com. Also visit HypnosisCenter.com so that you can find out about our courses offered by me and our professional trainers around the world. And make sure if you're a hypnosis professional that you go to OurHypnoSpace.com. Get your own free blog and start interacting with other hypnotists around the world. And last but not least, make sure you go to hypnosis.org and click on the graphic that looks like this. And then what do you want to do? You want to write us and see if you qualify for that certification of an excellent hypnosis website. That's it. Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.